This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
You subbed Lonzo out early in the first and third quarter.
His dad was talking so I took him out early. I'm just kidding.
You subbed Lonzo out early in the first and...
That was fantastic, by the way. I just loved it.
Hilarious.
Good for Luke Walton, because nothing chapped my ass more than hearing LeVar Ball chiming in saying that the entire Laker team, that Luke Walton had lost the entire Laker team, that they had all given up on Luke Walton and that they weren't on board with him anymore. And it's obvious to pick on a team when it's down. They had lost 9 in a row. And then Lonzo comes back, and that's one of the questions. And you could see in his face that he was like, man, is this the direction we're taking with this conference? The Lakers won last night, so they snapped the 9-game losing streak, and I hope that this story motivated them. But LeVar Ball, and I know, Barry, it's breaking a rule that we're even talking about him, and I agree with it. I can't stand him. It chapped my ass all weekend to hear him, that he was chiming in to take shots at a guy like Luke Walton. I hope the Lakers stand by Luke 150%, and at the same time, tell this guy either shut the hell up, or honestly, we will sit your son even more, because he's really not that good. Because the thing that really chapped my ass more, if you go back and look at the comments he made, yes, he's initially taking shots at Luke Walton, but when he starts saying the guys on the team that can play, there's one guy that he omits through the entire conversation, and it's a guy that you and I have been very high on. Kyle Kuzma is a guy that you should be coming out right away with as a guy that you're going to build your team around. I'm sorry, he's the best rookie on the team, not your son. So stick to the other two in Lithuania and enjoy your stay. Shut the hell up.
I was talking so I took him out early.
Did you see this story about Big Baller Brand has an F from the Better Business Bureau?
Yes.
I think that's hilarious. Apparently, on its website, the organization says Big Baller Brand's ratings are based on 32 complaints filed against the business, a failure to respond to 12 of those complaints, and 5 complaints that have still not been resolved. And then, of course, Mr. Spin comes out and is like, oh, that's outdated and it sucks and it's stupid. Like, it's kind of like the Yellow Pages. That's still
filing complaints against you.
Whether you think it's antiquated or not, that doesn't take away from the fact that 32 people took the time to tell you your business sucks. That's not good.
Where are you guys on these kids that are showing up to games now with the BBB t-shirts? Just trying to be
idiots.
Hip and cool?
Nah, who knows?
I was out the other, like, maybe 3-4 weeks ago, and I saw the first person ever wear a Big Baller Brand shirt. It was the ugliest shirt ever. It was purple, had gold on it as well. And it was, I forgot about how ugly it looked just because I was so surprised I actually saw somebody wear it. Because I haven't seen anybody wear the shoe, the slippers, the teeth.
No.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but I have seen nobody, at least down here in Houston.
Nope.
Aside from Arian Foster.
I have not seen a single person in any of their gear yet.
And then the other thing, if you actually took the time to read the interview that ESPN did, because, by the way, Rick Carlisle was not happy that ESPN is giving this guy the time of day, and he's saying that they should just completely ignore everything he says, which you can't do because it does sell. We all know that he is a marketing genius, so to speak, because he is selling himself when no one else finds any value in it. But then he said what they really should do is they should clear the roster with the exception of my son. And he doesn't mention Kyle Kuzma. He mentions a few other guys. Randall's one of them, who, by the way, is on the trading block. And then he says, and add my other son, and you've got a trio you can build around for years. Yeah, the one that was stealing in China, and now his only claim to fame is that he's a ball by name. But no one thinks he has any game. Just shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Go away. You're just annoying as hell.
Pretty ridiculous.
Good luck with your Facebook Live show. And all this other crap. And
I didn't even know
rating.
I had a Facebook Live show.
I kept
That's
getting
ridiculous.
Notifications on my Facebook last night. The newest edition of the, whatever the show's title is now available for viewing. Go away. I would never watch it.
Did you watch the game against the Pistons and the Rockets?
I did.
I had it on because that was when we had my sisters over, so I didn't get a chance to really watch it.
Right.
But what's wrong with this team? What did I miss from this game? What is wrong with this team that they can't beat the Pistons, who Drummond didn't even play? What's wrong with this team?
I don't know. I didn't watch that game, but they definitely should have won that game. But I mean, I don't know. Are we going to blame the fact that it's probably because of James Harden's absence.
They are 3-7.
I'm tired of the excuses.
They are 3-7 in their last 10.
Right.
This is a team that won how many in a row earlier
14.
In the year? 14 in a row.
Then they lost 6 straight.
And they're then they lost 6, but they are 3-7 in their last 10.
Mm-hmm.
And gosh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Detroit was coming off a back-to-back on the second night of a back-to-back. They should have been tired.
Yep, no Drummond.
Nope. After the first quarter, where the Rockets were somewhat hot from the outside, they went completely stone cold. And the Pistons, correct me, Nick, if you've heard this before, because we've talked about this and I've heard you talk about it on your other show, the fact that the Lakers, who were like 31st in the league in three-point shooting, lit the Rockets up.
Yeah.
Pistons were lighting them up. Ish Smith, the former Rocket and the NBA journeyman, was tearing them a new one by penetration in the lane. And he was making free throws. And Ryan Anderson sucks. For $20 million a year, on the road, he sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, he keeps blaming it on home games. Well, this was a road game, and he sucked again.
See what happens when you don't get 27 from Gerald Green?
Golly.
See what happens?
And it makes him look bad in terms of, when, like I said before, when you give Chris Paul all that credit, Chris Paul is going to be the reason why I'm going to shoot better. Is it?
Yeah. And for all of you people that cover this team, and I tweeted this when I was out, but you know what? Stop looking for excuses. Yeah, the team's injured, but guess what? Every team goes through injuries. Go look at what the Golden State Warriors, who, by the way, is your obsession, according to your general manager. If you're truly obsessed with this team, then you should want to do what they do. When they lost Steph Curry for 2.5-3 weeks, they lost one game. When they lose Kevin Durant, they still win games. I get it. You have some injuries, but it's a fact of what happens in the NBA. Put your big boy pants on, one leg at a time, strap them up, and realize you can't sleep on the Detroit Pistons.
The thing that baffles me is that if like you said, if they got beat at the perimeter, three-point shots, they shot 12 of 25, my goodness. If that's how they're beating the Rockets, most of their injuries outside of James Harden, who's not a great perimeter defender to begin with, you're missing Mbamute. You're missing Nene. Mm-hmm. Who else? Is that it?
It's those three that's going to be out for
tonight.
Well,
you lost Bobby Brown. That was huge.
But you're losing. So you're losing interior defense with Nene.
Mm-hmm.
So Black, I'm guessing, is the one who's coming in that spot in the rotation.
He's filling the spot, right.
And Mbamute is a good perimeter defender. He's just a good defender. He can. He's a power forward slash small forward who can defend on the perimeter, but he can defend down low as well. So maybe a little bit you're suffering there as in your second unit.
Fair to say Eric Gordon's struggling again.
Yeah. I mean, but I'm just talking defensively. Why are the Pistons getting 108 against this team and shooting almost 50% from behind the three-point line? There's no excuse for that. Defense.
None.
When the defense was playing good, we said this defense is again. You said just last week that people are just saying it because it's the easy, lazy take to say their defense is bad. After a game like that, you kind of have to look at it and say, well, maybe not. Maybe it is regressing, because earlier in the year, I'm with you, they were as good as any team just
about
defensively.
I do believe that this team is type of a team, too, that sometimes the fact that they're struggling on offense will make them lack a little bit on defense sometimes. But I just feel like, you know, even with the absence of those three players, and yeah, I know they're still trying to adjust to to the team without the three integral pieces to that rotation. And that's been kind of the knock on the Rockets. How well will they adjust in the event they have to go outside that 7 or 8-man rotation? You're starting to see a little bit of the struggle right now. But, I mean, by
Here's
now, you want Tariq Black and Weber. They've had enough reps to at least show a little bit of progression.
And both of them are supposed to be defensive-minded,
yeah.
Right? Here's my thing. You go from top, what was it, Barry? Top 10 easily in defensive rating.
I think at
rating.
One point they were 5 or 6.
They were in the top 5 at one point. And all of a sudden, you're giving up 124, 125 points a game. That's unacceptable. And to me, it's a mentality, which means your coaching staff is instilling a system in which if you lose a component or two, the system itself should still keep you on a pretty even course to stay with the numbers that you've been putting up in terms of defensive rating. Instead, it's fallen off the charts. It's gotten that bad. And God forbid, guys, do I ask this question that I don't think I'd ever ask, and I don't think you'd ever would take me seriously in asking, but where would they have been if they didn't sign Gerald Green?
Yeah, the few times he went off versus the Magic. And
saved their bacon.
Yeah. He kept them in it against the Warriors, too.
This is why I keep telling people, enjoy the regular season, but there you got to really have some soul-searching done between now and the playoffs for a team that really has a lot to prove come the second season, because, and you better hope Chris Paul really can stabilize a whole lot of things, because the other thing is he can't do it himself. That's the thing I also don't like is Chris Paul has seemed, at least late in games, and Nick, you've witnessed it firsthand, and tell me if I'm wrong, but it seems like late in the game especially, he feels like with James out, he's got to shoulder the entire load.
Yep.
And he can't have that mentality, just like James can't have the ISO mentality late in games like the Celtics.
And Gordon will have that mentality in the event that Harden and Paul are out. He'll definitely feel like he has to be the man and kind of take over. Look, if you're going to be that team that's supposed to be, you know, that team that's going to compete against teams like the Spurs and the Warriors, this is going to be an example for tonight, right? You have three guys that are out, and you're going up against a Bulls squad that's way well below 500, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. Played yesterday, too, by the way. Another
probably
second
not
night of
even
back-to-back.
Ranked in the top eight in the East, most probably. Probably out looking on the outside
they're 14
looking in.
And 26. Oh, they're terrible. They're one of the three worst
this
teams in the East.
Still should be a game that they should win even without those players. And it's just
a
bad sign.
Because they're young kids that are going to come out free stroking, wanting to send a message. And these are the games the Rockets can't take lightly.
They're now giving up 107 points a game, the Rockets are.
Yep.
When they were on the right side of the win-loss column, they were at 103. Their plus-minus was almost 13. This is when they were in the middle of that winning streak and they were keeping the Warriors in second place in the West. They're now 21st in the league in points allowed.
Man.
And they're 14th in rebounds per game, 17th in assists per game. It's safe to say that as a unit, both defensively and offensively, they're regressing. And that's fine. Do it now. I'd rather see them do it now, figure it out, than doing it in April and May. That's when it would be worse. But still, this is just so Jekyll and Hyde. It's just odd to see. I never thought that they would look as bad as they've looked based on the 14-game win streak.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So there is reason for concern. And again, they're back at it tonight in a game that probably little to no audience will be watching on AT&T Sportsnet because the national championship game is on.
Don't count on my 2 cents on the Rocket game tomorrow.
Yeah, hopefully you're not tuning it out because of the fact that you're expecting an easy win for your Rockets.
I mean, I'll record it and I'll watch it in the morning if something crazy happens. But if it's just a blowout one way or the other, are you going to watch it?
I may not watch it.
I mean, I'll flip back and forth and check on it.
Really?
I'll check on it. But, you know, I'm a basketball junkie. But at the same time, that depends on how interesting a football game it is as well, because that's where I'm going to be focused for the most part.
Okay.
But if that game sucks too, I'll be scrambling to find things to view, especially if I got to get on the damn treadmill.
Might I recommend X videos?
Oh, okay. Okay. Then there's that. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. Jacoby, we see you, and we'll get to you. Raheel, by the way, was in here bitching that he still has the quickest wait times.
Yeah, he
asked
me, he goes, why are y'all stealing our bed? I said, we didn't steal it. Joel just didn't set it up right. He said, we had the longest, but you didn't tell him why. And then it just sounded like we were taking their bit. I said, no, we're not. That we... you guys blew it in the previous show because they had a guy, what, for 15?
I said they had a guy, and they put him on hold, and then sat through
a commercial
break.
Not the first time when he came in. You said later, I think. When he asked me about it, isn't that one? I was just, Raheel thinks we're stealing his bits, and no one wants those.
All we're doing is
no one wants
him, flipping him crap.
No one wants your bits. Did you see his video, by the way?
It was fantastic.
Oh, my God. I thought it was real. I was
what
like,
video?
What?
Oh, my God. Go to Raheel's.
Nick, you haven't seen this yet?
Raheel's Twitter page.
So
he,
good.
He does the parody on the Adidas commercial with Harden and all the Adidas athletes now, and he's in it.
It's killer.
By the way, I asked him who did it. Brandon.
Really?
Our Brandon did it.
We're badass.
Dude, go check that video out. It's fantastic. There, Raheel. You happy now? All right, we're gonna be taking a quick break and come back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects as we continue to roll on as we check news of the day. One of the good things that I tweeted that you people that are Astros fans out there, and you all should be, that you should be excited about is Jim Crane is on record with an audio clip or two saying that the team is actively looking to acquire another frontline starting pitcher and that they could dip into the farm system to acquire one. Rumors are that Garrett Cole, the longtime sought-after starting pitcher of the Pittsburgh Pirates, could be on the Astros' radar. Would you be willing to give up a package that includes, and shall we say, other people are hoping it's a combination, not all of the above, but a Derek Fisher
okay.
combination with, what's their, the young phenom
Kyle
pitcher?
Tucker.
Well, Tucker's the outfielder, and then the pitcher that has been just setting the world on fire that everybody wants them to hang on to, and now all of a sudden his name is escaping me.
Is it not on the tweet?
I'm looking for the exact tweet, but Whitley.
Oh,
there
okay.
you go. Yeah. So there's talk that it could be any combination of two of the three, and some are saying all three of Derek Fisher, Whitley, and Tucker for an A1 starter. I think anybody, if the Pittsburgh Pirates were to acquire all three of those guys, that they would have clearly won the day.
Well, they would do that in a heartbeat because they're rebuilding. And you would
right.
be getting the,
so the
two
Pirates
top prospects.
Ecstatic.
Well, yeah, you're getting the two top prospects. If you get Whitley and Tucker, you're getting the two top prospects in the Astros farm system for a pitcher that's probably not going to do you any good if you're not competing.
Right.
So if they decide to go that route and rebuild, and that's how they're going to do it, then that's great. If I'm the Astros, I don't make that deal because – I feel like this team has a plethora of starting pitchers. You have 2.5 aces already. You've got Justin Verlander. You've got Dallas Keuchel. Lance McCullers has ace stuff. He could be an ace. That's why I say you have 2.5, because if he can stay healthy and pitch a full year, he could compete with the for the number one spot on this team with Verlander and Keuchel. So through the three spots in your rotation, you've got three ones, essentially. Then you follow that up with Morton, who is a 2 or a 3 on most other teams, or he's pitched like it at least. You've got Colin McHugh, who I still say has been one of the most consistent guys on this rotation since he came to the Astros. And then you've got Brad Peacock, which is a wild card, which is a guy who really has earned a spot in that rotation. So you've got an odd man out to begin with, and now you want to add Garrett Cole. Would it be great? Absolutely. But you're not really filling a position of need by going out and getting another frontline starter. You're not going to lose Justin no. Verlander. You might lose Keuchel. But you know what? Here's the thing, and I was looking at this. They were talking about, why is the hot stove league so slow? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with not who's available now, but who's available in 2019. And when you look at 2019, who's up? You got the Bryce Harpers and the Clayton Kershaws can opt out of his contract. Manny Machado, Charlie Blackmon, Andrew Miller, David Price. There's a lot of names that are a lot sexier than what's available right now, like the Yu Darvishes of the world.
Right. But here's what I would say in terms from an Astros fan perspective, going, why, you know, why? We don't need another starting pitcher. We don't want to. But here's the thing. From the standpoint of just purely baseball, when you look at what they did in the postseason and what they were able to do with, as you mentioned, Charlie Morton pitching the way he was pitching and he came out of the pen, McCullers when they used him as a relief pitcher, you have interchangeable pieces. You have guys that, yes, could be top-tier starting pitchers, but we all know you can only have 5 of those. And so if you do want to shuffle the deck a different way because they really didn't dabble too hard into the bullpen as we all identified was the number one need for them. But they made a few things, nothing big of a splash, by the way. So you could shuffle the deck a different way, add another starting pitcher. That gives you the ability to take a Peacock or a McCullers or a Morton or two of the three and use them in the bullpen instead.
But you can already do that. You can already move Peacock to the bullpen.
You could,
if
right.
you make McHugh your 5, Morton your 4, we know who the 1 through 3 is. So if you feel like you need a quality arm in the bullpen and a guy that's come out of the bullpen in the past and had success, I don't understand the logic and why people want to move Lance McCullers to the bullpen. I just don't see it. And I know
and
what
I,
people tell me.
Right.
Oh, because he can't stay healthy. Well, then get him healthy. But just because a guy can't stay healthy isn't a reason to move him to the bullpen.
Well, and this is why we've turned over a new leaf in 2018, and I'm here to come to your defense, too, was the fact that we were having this conversation before the show with some guys out in the bullpen. And the first thing that I said to back your case was, look, everybody that wants to move Lance McCullers to the bullpen better realize if he's had arm problems in the past as a starter, nothing is more taxing on your arm when you have to go to the bullpen and get warm 2 and 3 days in a row. Whether you're used or not, you're going to be up and getting warm and getting loose and expected to be ready if you are called. But if you're not called, it doesn't take the wear and tear off your arm. More injuries can accumulate that way than pitching once every 5 days.
Yeah. You work a lot in the bullpen. You throw a lot of pitches. They're just not game pitches. I just feel like I want to see this team go out and get. And that's the other thing is people, well, he can do it. And speaking of McCullers, yeah, he had to do it because they didn't have anybody else that they could trust in the bullpen.
Right.
You're not going to get through a whole season like that with just Lance. Go out and bolster the bullpen. Add some quality depth to it. Get a closer if you don't think that Giles is your guy. But there are other holes to fill to me than in this rotation.
And I'll finish by saying this. But if they are dead set on going and adding a starting pitcher, I like him going after Gerrit Cole, who also has a very team-friendly contract, as opposed to guys that may be washed up, like Yu Darvish, like Jake Arrieta, who are still rumored to be on the Astros' radar, which I wish they weren't. That I would feel better about Gerrit Cole than those two guys.
Yeah. My thing is if they're so dead set on getting Forrest Whitley for Gerrit Cole, that should tell you something about Forrest Whitley. You've got two more years, essentially, with the guys like Verlander and Keuchel and so forth. Are you better off with two more years of arbitration with Gerrit Cole or waiting 2 years for Forrest Whitley to really travel develop, through the minors, yep, and come up and be a stud?
Yep. Interesting. But, of course, because aside from having the shortest wait times in the business, we also make sure we cover the gamut and aren't afraid to talk baseball at any time. That's what we do here on The Usual Suspects. So we're going to take a break, come back with the final half hour before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. And, Jacoby, we see you want to chime in on that dude. So we'll get you in as well. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5. Do you believe that you
can win this fight tonight? Alabama, Georgia, the College Football National Championship, presented by AT&T.
Alabama, Georgia, 7 p.m. tonight, presented by Wingstop on ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final half hour of The Usual Suspects. Trying to do some housekeeping here on some of the news of the day that we had mentioned throughout the show. I had mentioned the Texans' first general manager candidate that they were going to bring in was from Green Bay and the Packers organization. Longtime front office exec Brent Gutekunst was scheduled to be in Houston last night, but before he could travel to Houston to interview with the contingency from the Texans, the Packers made him their new general manager. So therefore, he is scratched off the list.
So that means he was good, and now the Texans are missed out.
But there are still several candidates on
Gaines
the Texans
is the
list.
Big name.
Gaines, a one-time Texans employee that was with the Buffalo Bills, is high on that list. And the Patriots, not surprisingly, denied the request of the Texans to interview two of their front office higher-ups that would have been interested in the position that Bill O'Brien had contact with in the past. So it'll be interesting to see how that general manager search continues for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, they need to do something. They need to get moving. I know that they don't want to rush, but at the same time, like you said, you just lost a candidate to Green Bay. Mm-hmm.
One name to keep an eye on is former longtime Packers general manager Ron Wolf, who just got inducted into the Hall of Fame. His son Elliot Wolf is only 35 years old and known to be an up and comer that I thought was going to be the next general manager of the Packers. Of the three guys in Green Bay that were in the organization that were up for the job, they locked up two of them. The one that they didn't lock up was Elliot Wolf. I firmly believe Elliot Wolf is going to be a general manager somewhere next year. And if not, Cleveland's going to bring him in to groom him to replace their new general manager, Dorsey. All have, you know, longtime Packer ties. But Elliot Wolf would not be a bad choice if you're the Houston Texans for a guy that runs in their system. Anybody that's come under the Ron Wolf tree, we talk about coaching trees, the Ron Wolf tree is pretty damn good for general manager.
I'm torn because in one respect, you don't want to get a guy that has no experience because that was Rick Smith. I mean, when he came in, he didn't have any experience. He's learning on the job and he hasn't done a good job. And I mean, his dad would be great because his dad knows what he's doing.
But he's been in the Packers football operation.
Right, but I'm just saying
this kind of stuff.
That's the thing. When you look at it, you're like, part of me as a fan would be great with a young up and comer if he pans out. But then if you get stuck with another Rick Smith, now what?
I
when you
couldn't
have gone out and got a guy that maybe had some experience as a GM or at least as, you know, assistant GM or something like that. So
Other than that, we recapped the NFL weekend. That was pretty uneventful, but we talked about the preview a little bit, and we'll do that later this week in terms of what's going on with the NFL. We've talked a little basketball, a little Rockets, and, of course, a little of that dude, LeVar Ball, which we can't stand talking about. But we promised Jacoby he'd get in here to talk about LeVar Ball, as he has been waiting online. So, Jacoby, without further ado, what's up?
Hey, man. What's going on, fellas? Good to hear from you.
What's up, man? What's Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to talk a little bit of LeVar Ball. I caught kind of the tail end of you guys' conversation. And honestly, when I caught the tail end, that's why I called in. I wanted to kind of get complete on my thoughts, because when I caught the tail end, it just sounded like a lot of bashing. But I did catch, I'm sorry, I'm still learning you guys' name, but I did catch one of you guys say that you got your notifications about the, you know, the Ball in the Family show. I noticed that you didn't want to mention it, just like
To be honest with you, I couldn't think of the title, but there it is, the Ball in the Family.
Okay. Ball in the Family, yes, sir, yes, sir. And I also I had similar thoughts and similar opinions about LeVar Ball. You know, that you guys have similar negative thoughts and things like that that you had before I started to watch the show. Which was, I've kept up on each episode of the show, both seasons. And before I started to watch the show, my perspective about LeVar Ball was negative, and the family. It wasn't all the way positive.
So what's your perspective now? What's your thoughts on the show now?
My perspective now is that he's doing a great job. He's doing a great job as far as being a father. For one, he's doing a great job as far as being a marketer for his business and promoting, his family business and things like that. I do disagree with how he put the information out or his opinion out about Coach Luke Walton. I am a Lakers fan, so I do disagree about, how he chose to get the message out. But I do agree with the message that Luke Walton may not be the coach for this Lakers team. And the Lakers team to come in the future, and it does seem like that Luke Walton is losing a little bit of the team. I preface it to if you think about having LeBron coming over next year to the team, and we talk about assistant coach Ty Lue right now with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Just think about how LeBron will be able to respect or his lack of respect for Luke Walton, the guy that he played against, played the same position and dominated, throughout his, early career. So I was just thinking about that, and like I said, I think that in order to get a full perspective of the Ball family, that you do need to kind of watch the show Ball in the Family, because it does give you a different perspective. It's almost like having to do a book report or take a test, and all you did was read the Spark Notes.
Well, Jacoby, I'm going to have to disagree with you on a couple of things. One, I don't want to watch it to get perspective, because that's what he wants. That's what LeVar is doing. That's why he comes out and talks crap about an NBA coach that his son plays for, when no other dad in America is doing that. You say that it's good marketing. It might be smart, but that doesn't make it good.
And a TV show doesn't give you a true perspective.
Well, I was
going to
say,
he knows those cameras are there. He's not going to be being genuine, I'm guessing.
You got more thoughts. I was just going to say, the one thing after, if Jacoby swears that, hey, in order to get the right perspective, that you got to watch the show, I'll never have the right perspective then, because I'm never watching the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a dramatized show. You have to dramatize any program, especially a reality-type show. In order for it to get any type of ratings, you have to dramatize it. You have to make something happen controversial.
They're also
going to
spin it in his favor. The producers are.
And LeVar's going to probably be the driving force of that.
If this was a show where all he did was sit around a table with a team of PR people, publicists, and marketing experts and say, all right, how can I get my name out there? What controversial things am I going to do this week? And then showed us how he planned this, I might watch it, because then I'm like, so now we get to peek behind the curtain and see why he's out here doing these things.
Yep.
But if it's just to try to make LeVar Ball look good and like he's a family man, I don't care. Because you know what? I shouldn't know about LeVar Ball to begin with. I should know about his sons.
Yep.
Because they play basketball. Mm-hmm. But I should not know who LeVar Ball is.
Here's my thing.
Go ahead.
Here's my thing, okay? First and foremost, do your show. do your thing. Marketing genius. I said it. Because you know what? One of them's a decent player. But we've already said, regardless, he was a top five pick. You can't change that. And he's gotten his son to be a millionaire. And his son looks like he'll be a decent NBA player. The other two, we don't know about. But everybody knows their name. And he's probably made them both millionaires, whether we like it or not, whether they can play a lick or not. But stay in your lane. I'm going to use his exact phrase. Stay in your lane, which means worry about marketing your kids or doing what you got to do. Stay the hell out of how the Lakers run their front office and who they have as the head coach and what they're doing with your son, okay? Because you're just a dad. You're not running the lake. You're not Magic Johnson. You're not anybody in the front office. And no one gives a rat's ass about your opinion. Your son's getting paid, which is part of the contract, but now it's up for him to perform and for them to do the jobs that they're all assigned to do with the Lakers. Do your marketing, but shut the hell up.
As much as I don't like a lot of his antics, if I was LeVar Ball, I honestly wouldn't let off the gas. I'd keep going. Because now, like you said, we always talk about how it shouldn't be about him. It should be about his sons. But right now, it's catapulted into a marketing scheme and a business. I don't see him letting off the gas. I just don't. Like, he's just going to keep trying to, especially the reality show should be a perfect reason for you to believe that. He's not going to let off the gas. He's still going to be the big mouth that he is.
That's just it. You're talking
until someone puts a trap order on him that makes him stop.
He's a narcissist and he's an egomaniac. And he's got this idea that him and his family are a brand. And he may have developed that in some respects in a way. But that doesn't mean that people have to sit back and give him a chance if that's not their thing. I'm not going to watch his Facebook so I can get a different perspective on him because I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
Does he really think the Lakers are going to hear what he has to say and go, well, that's it. We got to fire Luke Walton right away and get rid of all the players he says can't play.
He is a cancer for basketball in the NBA. I mean, he's going to turn off more people than he's going to turn on. And I'm just not going to give this dude I hate that we talk about him on this show. I know that we have to, but I'm not going to watch his Facebook. I'm not going to buy his shoes and I'm not going to participate in anything big baller related.
I don't think you had to say anything more than what you said about him as a cancer to the game of basketball. From that point on, I think, well done, and we're done. So there you go, except for your buddies ready to chime in now. So I'll leave that up to you if you want to take his call.
Okay.
All right, we'll be back. We've got one segment to go before we turn over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects for the final segment before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz, and they'll take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. I left this up to you, Barry, because you are the commissioner. It is judge and jury time, and your best friend is calling again. So you already know how I feel.
Yeah, let's.
If I'm not beating the hell out of mascots, I'd like to get OU Mike on it. So, go ahead.
OU Mike, what's up, man?
Oh, not much. I was just thinking about LeVar Ball. I don't know his wife. What could a woman's vagina do that was so horrible that you'd be like, look, I'm bringing LeVar Ball into the picture now. I mean, it had to be something just horrible it did.
Well, you got what you wanted. And he got what he wanted because you're laughing uncontrollably over here.
That makes no sense, but it was hilarious.
When he said the D word, I was like, hold on.
Bow.
It made no sense, but it was still hilarious because I was like,
Could have gotten worse, by the way. I thought he was going to get a lot worse after he started like that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And it did it.
Oh, my gosh. I got an email from Jong. Did you get this email as well? Did you guys get the death pool email?
I did not.
I don't think so.
Well, you probably didn't participate last year. That's why. I'm not doing it this year. I think I came in like
who
third.
Won?
I think Fred won.
Who did he call out that passed away?
Who was the big one?
I don't remember because he didn't send the results. He just said, hey, I need your death pool money. I'm like, I didn't get a result of where I know I had somebody on my list that died. They were old. But
John doesn't consider us full-time ESPN guys that he likes, so he leaves us off those lists.
Is that how that goes?
Yeah, Nick's a network guy, and I'm just a guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
I'm here
yeah.
5 days a week, but I'm a network guy.
You're
well, this was last January.
Yeah, I know, but I was still around.
Well, Patrick
I
just Creighton was in on that.
On the death pool?
Yeah.
He probably asked you guys, and y'all said no.
That's probably not the case,
I think he
but
did.
It's fair warning.
You would have gotten in on the death pool.
I didn't say I would get in on it.
Well,
but you have to ask everybody to give everybody a fair chance to participate. More money in the pool.
Well, maybe he knew you wouldn't participate.
He doesn't know.
I don't know.
Let me just be real.
I don't know if I'm going to do it this year. We'll see. I also got this from Yahoo.
You gonna put LeVar Ball on that list?
You're not getting me to say anything ugly.
Just asking.
Yahoo sent me a draft grade and a final grade on my. I got a draft grade of a B and a final grade of a C. And I didn't have any good fantasy teams this year. I don't know why.
That one that you auto-drafted was pretty good.
You shut up.
By the way, we never mentioned that because of all the vacations. But out of the three of us, there was one that prevailed with a 12-1 record and a run through the playoffs to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I did pretty good.
Oh, you Mike?
No, that would be not.
Oh, who? Case.
That would be me.
Oh.
Lost one game all year.
I see
one
why
came
we didn't
from behind
mention
in
it
the
now.
Semis, won the freaking Super Bowl.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Bite me, El Jefe.
What'd you win?
Zippo.
Oh. Okay.
But I've won a league the last 2 years.
Yeah, somebody also texted him was, well, hey, now the fantasy's over, what I win? Yeah, this nothing. I didn't even reply. That's what you won. Speaking of text.
But congrats.
Yeah, somebody texted and said, hey, I had the Himalayan Heat Burger on Sunday at Cowboys and Indians. Good burger. Thanks for the recommendation. See, I'm telling you guys.
There you go.
I keep telling you. The peeps are, if you haven't gone out there yet, you're not paying attention. Also, if you want to go ahead and get weighed in for the weight loss challenge,
yes, sir.
And you can get started on your weight loss thing now, feel free to go by Houston Family Nutrition. Write this down. It's at 900 Lovett Boulevard in Montrose. 900 Lovett Boulevard in Montrose. They're open tonight, 5 to 7. Tuesdays through Thursdays, 12 to 7. And Fridays, 12 to 3. I'll make it easy for you. I'm going to tweet all that. So at Barry is funny. If you want to go ahead and get weighed in and get rolling on your weight loss, because the sooner you start, the sooner that you can, the more you'll lose. Because we've got a packet that's going to come out. We're trying to get a few more places. But right now you can weigh in here at the station or you can weigh in at Houston Family Nutrition at 900 Lovett Boulevard. But we're trying to get the packets all ready to go for you guys with the prizes
and
all that.
And I don't want to throw a monkey wrench into this.
No,
but,
God,
no,
please
but I'm just
don't.
Asking for the people
God,
that
Lord,
started
please.
January 1st.
Nope.
We can't.
Nope.
You're helping yourself. We just can't help you till we officially
you gotta
have
yeah,
the weigh-in.
You have to weigh in.
That we have sanctioned.
So follow me at Barry's Funny. I'm going to tweet this out. Pac-Man Joe, at Pac-Man Joe with a K, at the producer Nick. They'll retweet it. This is where you can go weigh in right now if you want to get started and talk to Mo and his team out there and But we'll have, like, official, you know, the rules are pretty simple. You don't need, like, official rules. It's body fat percentage in three categories. Less than 200, 200 to 250, 250 and up. The person that loses the most body fat percentage is going to win each of those categories.
Someone's got to tell Dr. Dre that the 16 ounces that he lost, doesn't count.
And we're working on prizes, and we'll have those packets emailed to you. So if you've already sent us your stuff, don't worry. You're in. Go get weighed in. 900 Lovett, or you can come up here, 5353 West Alabama.
There
between what?
You
8 and 5 is the office hours?
Is there someone here at 8?
I want to say it's 9 to 4.
9 to 4? Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you have it.
All right, so let me tweet that out.
So that basically will put the wraps on another quality program. And so we're going to continue to do this like we do every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. on The Usual Suspects. But your day is not complete, and we know that. So therefore, we're going to hand it off to Fred, AJ, and The Blitz. We're going to take you home till 7 o'clock. And you can talk more sports and things with them. Otherwise, we'll see you again tomorrow. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.